Welcome to the Aquarimax audio show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 143, recorded December 17th, 2012.
Greetings, everyone.
Good evening.
We have an action-packed show ready for you today, right?
Bafo Sako.
Yeah, something like that. So what have we got lined up?
Okay, well, we've got Matt in Australia, and Kelsey in California, Mick in the UK, and Greg from Jamestown, and Tony from New York, too.
Oh, Jamestown, California.
Jamestown, right? California, yes, which is funny to me because I grew up in Sonora, which is just up the hill from Jamestown, so...
Just a few minutes away.
In fact, I even had a friend in high school named Greg, although I don't think this is the same Greg.
And then Tony in New York.
Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. So, let's dive in with Matt.
Okay.
He says, a few days ago we upgraded to a new, to us, secondhand aquarium. I thought you'd appreciate it. It is quite a machine. Two Eheim 2217 filters, two Jagger 300 watt heaters, double 180 centimeter fluorescent lights, a giant air pump called Atman 4000, split into four different air stones in the tank, custom-made solid wood cabinet, and a digital thermometer. Currently contains African rift cichlids that I have not identified yet. Previous owner did not know their names either, but they will be sold when possible as we want to put the 120 centimeter inhabitants in the 180 centimeter tank. The aquarium shop estimated the weight of the empty aquarium at 120 kilograms. How many pounds is that?
Well, kilogram is 2.2 pounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big tank.
Yes.
He says it was a serious hassle to move it inside. How have you handled moving large aquariums?
The largest aquarium I've ever moved is a 55-gallon, so...
Well, the 55 that we have right now, the stand is a beast.
Well, yeah, it is, because it's twice as tall as a normal stand, about.
And it's heavy. It's, like, it doesn't have a cabinet, and it's just thick and heavy.
So... Moving large aquariums, I just get a lot of help, but I've only moved, you know, the aquariums this large. I think I've helped move terrariums that were larger, like John's snake terrarium.
Well, does he mean, like, actually picking it up from the car and taking it in the house, or does he mean how do you pack it in the car to get it home?
I think he means just moving it.
Like, just picking it up and walking.
Yeah, and I think he hit the nail right on the head. Serious hassle.
You know, I wonder... Places like I don't know if they, I'm sure they have something like this in various countries, but U-Haul in the United States, you can rent moving trucks and dollies and things like that. I wonder if you could find a place that rents like the flat sled looking things, like they've got at Costco with the wheels on them.
A forklift?
No, not a forklift. Just
A pallet mule kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay. If it's really big, so you don't have to actually carry it from whatever vehicle you're carrying, and if you can get it on there, I guess if you have to go upstairs, that's not going to help.
Yeah, it's tricky going up and down the stairs with them. And we did have to bring this one downstairs, didn't we, or did we do it through the garage?
We did it through the garage, so it was already downstairs. Yeah. So, I don't know, you know, if it happens to work out that it's all on the same level, that might
helps.
Be helpful.
Yeah.
I would put blankets inside of it, too.
Inside of
it? Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Just, I mean, when you've got it in the car or truck or whatever, you're moving it in. If it's empty and it's dry, then I would wrap it up with something.
Well, you know, I read an article. That it probably helps to wrap it up on the outside, especially the outside.
Yeah.
I mean, but this is something that I read, to keep dings, you know, from getting dinged and scratched and whatnot.
Yeah,
but
that's what I mean.
This is something I read for moving large aquariums a long time ago in... It was from Freshwater Marine Aquarium, but this was years ago, that people would build basically a frame out of 2x4s and put their tank in it when they were going to move it, and then they could put it in a moving truck because the frame would protect it.
Were the 2x4s padded?
Help them lift it and everything. You know, they were just precision, it was custom built to fit your aquarium. And so it went under it. It was
like
a base and a frame around it.
Still want some padding, so the...
Well, you might, yeah. You might want some frame, some padding, but it was, I don't know, it was an interesting idea. But if any of you who have moved larger aquariums than I have, larger than a 55,
well,
you can let us know what you've done.
So the frame is like a box.
Yeah.
Would you like me to get you a box?
So, yeah, I would. Would you get me a box? to move all the aquariums.
Only if you're going to hew orc heads off their necks.
Okay. Now you're giving it away. Everybody knows where the quote's from.
Well, that's they okay. kind of have to... Who doesn't know those quotes?
I don't know.
And if you don't, shame on you. Go watch them. But he says, the tank is quiet and the background is made from foam, hiding all the filter and airstone pipes. It makes me happy every time I walk into the room, which, of course, is the point.
And you
so
know what?
I'm glad it makes him happy.
Yeah. He sent us a picture. I still need to show you the picture.
Yeah, I haven't seen the picture.
But it is, wow. It is some tank.
Really big.
I would love a tank like that.
You said, how long was it? 180 centimeters is...
That's about 6 feet, I think.
That's a big, yeah. big tank.
Yeah, it's a big, nice big tank. Looks really cool. I would love a tank like that. So, someday.
Yeah, well, I don't think it will fit in your stocking.
No, probably not. But someday.
You have to get, like, really big socks, and then maybe Santa can bring you one.
Okay.
Elephant socks, maybe.
It is a really nice tank, Matt, so thanks for sharing with us.
All right, let's go to Kelsey in California, and we've been, in previous episodes, discussing her plant woes.
Yes, which are now taking a sharp turn for the better.
Which is good. And Kelsey says, I just wanted to update you on how the tank is doing since your CO2 suggestion. I've included two pictures, a before shot from the 24th of November and one from yesterday, 15 days into daily dosing of API's carbon booster product. My local fish store did not carry Flourish Excel. My water wisteria and bacopa are doing the best, I think. The swords I still have to cut off brown leaves every week, and black moldy-looking spots have developed, which I have to rub the leaves with my fingers pretty hard to get rid of. I usually have the tank lights on from about 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Seems to be working okay. Any problems that I've had in the past couple weeks I've attributed to accidentally leaving the light on past lights out. I don't have a timer yet. Thanks for the CO2 suggestion. My tank is definitely nicer to look at since I can see the plants through the algae. I wish I had taken a picture of that dismal mess so you could see the difference, but hopefully a portrait showing how the plants are thriving will do.
Yeah. Thanks for sending those pictures. We'll put those on the show page so you all can check those out. You can definitely see a positive difference that everything has been making. So it's great to hear your success story, and thank you for sharing it with us.
And you had a note for her on the swords, though, didn't you?
Oh, yes. The sword plants, they tend to be heavier root feeders than a lot of the stem plants, like bacopa, for example. And because of that, if you don't have enough nutrients in the substrate, sometimes they can suffer, and that may be contributing to the brown leaf issue. I mean, I'm not sure in this case exactly what's happening, but
something to look into, though.
Yeah, at least depending on what you have in substrate, and I'm afraid, I think you told us what your substrate was. I don't remember, but if it's an enriched substrate, that's one thing. But if it's not, if it's just gravel, and even if it is an enriched substrate, I mean, swords will appreciate some extra nutrients down at the base of the roots. So you can get Flourish root tabs, for example, or they're basically pellets that you just insert near the roots of the plant, and they
just get extra fertilizer that way.
And something that I've used is Job's plant spikes. They're sold for palms. There's different formulations. There's one that's just
they're
like
a house
plant spike.
They're not sold for aquatic
right.
plants.
And then there's one that's specifically for palm trees, terrestrial palm trees. And I've used that. And, you know, not everybody recommends that because it's not sold for aquariums, but I've just broken off bits of those and shoved them near the roots of heavy root-feeding plants, and they've done well with it. So something to think of. It's probably safer to go with the Flourish root tabs, but you might want to just consider doing that and see if it helps with your swords.
That's a good idea. Okay, so Tony says, in some recent episodes, you have been extolling the virtues of Flourish Excel. As some listeners might recall, I was having similar issues with algae in my 6.6-gallon killifish aquarium. I have been using Flourish Excel, as you suggested, and I have to say it is working great. Previously, I had black spots on my Java moss, probably excess algae. I have to admit I didn't do much to prune or clean it, just added Flourish and then took a wait-and-see approach. Over a couple of months, I can now see that all the black spots have vanished and my tank has very little algae. Plus, the Java moss is doing great, bushy and green. It has doubled in size. In my other aquariums, I don't use Flourish, and believe me, I can see the difference. In other aquariums, the Java moss is fine, but not growing nearly as fast. So, there you have it, an unsolicited testimonial.
Yeah, thank you, Tony. That sounds like it's working great for you, as it has for us.
Mm-hmm. He does say he has one small warning. He says, I think that dosing too much Flourish will kill beneficial bacteria. I went a little overboard at first and noticed a nitrite spike due to my dosing 2 to 3 times the suggested amount. I now think it might be better to stay within the recommended dosing parameters and just exercise patience instead. Or maybe pruning.
Well, I heartily agree. That's a great point that you bring up, Tony. And an interesting fact here is that the active ingredient in Flourish Excel, which I can't remember the exact chemical name of it right now. I'm sorry. I don't have a bottle of it handy right now. But the active ingredient is actually used as a disinfectant in laboratories in certain conditions. So that would make a lot of sense that it would be damaging for the bacteria.
It could be dangerous. That makes sense. He says, it has all worked out well, though. I was starting to be concerned about my Java moss when it was beginning to turn black, but Aquamax has saved the day once again with sound fish-keeping advice.
All in the day's work. Our reward is that justice has been done.
Okay, we're going to go on to Mick in Carnforth, UK.
Okay.
He says, good show again this week. Thanks for the discussion on euthanasia and the suggestions, and you are welcome. I picked up a trio of Pistogramma borelli at work last week. I had noticed that the male was displaying to one of the females in the tank, and the trio were the only ones left, so I bagged them up last Friday and set them up at home that evening. And I'm going to insert a comment here and say that I think it's cool that you can say that you bring fish home to set up from work.
Me too. That is very cool. I'm glad that's working out.
I was surprised to see that by Saturday morning, both females and the male were in the coconut cave and around 20 eggs to boot. By the evening, one female and the male had been evicted, and the remaining female was guarding the eggs. I was wondering about removing the eggs to artificially incubate.
Hello,
and hatch
this
them,
is Ken Jones of the Prince of Ponds and Pet Tech Podcast, and you're listening to one of my favorites, the Aquamax Show.
Yesterday,
now
Tuesday,
there are more ways than ever to be a part of
the
Aquamax.
In
addition to downloading the podcast on iTunes,
and for the benefit of other fish keepers,
Twitter,
because I know Mick
like our
is,
Facebook page, subscribe,
and I'm referring
YouTube
to fish
channel,
keepers who haven't had
or
much
call
experience.
Any time
but
to leave a phone
they go through a sharp learning curve in many cases. Often the first attempt at spawning doesn't work, maybe the second or third,
or just email
or be there,
us
but eventually
at
they pick it up and seem to learn a little bit each time. So that's what Mick is referring
to. Back to the
Aquamax
podcast, Icy Now.
And then he goes on to say, I was given several pairs of live bears from a friend this week. I'm trying to set up my breeding tanks in a much more naturalistic or biotope style these days, moving away from the more clinical type I've used in the past when I was interested in raising fish in high numbers to sell on. I find that all the fish exhibit much more complex and natural behaviors and often settle in better and breed more readily under these circumstances with nice substrates, wood, and plants.
And I gotta say, I agree with you. It's a much better setup all around because it's aesthetically more pleasing and the fish seem to be happier. So, hey, if you can do it. I know that it's not practical for people who are trying to churn out thousands of angelfish per week or things like that. But when you can make that decision, I think it's the best one when it's possible and practical for you. And I gotta share this story with you. See, a few weeks ago, Mick had indicated he was looking for a musk turtle. He was going on a musk hunt, were the words he used. And so this is, and then Kelly was a bit confused by that. So this is what Mick said. I have been haunted by a strange image of Elmer Fudd, rifle in hand, for the last few weeks, ever since I sent you the email in which I mentioned going on a musk hunt and Kelly thinking I had been out game hunting. I suppose I have some vague similarity of him in the hair department, but the image is a humorous one. And we both got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah,
so.
That was pretty good. And on that humorous note, let's take a break.
Okay, and Mick sent us some videos.
Yes.
One of his epistos, so you can check that out, the female chasing the male around. It's kind of fun. And then the another video of his Merry Widows, which are intriguing little fish. You don't see them a lot in the U.S. They're live bears, but I don't think I've ever seen them here in the U.S. I've read about them, but that's as far as I've
seen
gone.
Them out here. So
they're not common fish in pet stores or anything around here. So thank you very much, Mick.
And by the way, Russ really enjoyed all the articles in the Practical Fish Keeping magazine too. So thank you for
sending that.
To us.
Particularly the one about the aquascape tank you could view from four different views. One where it looked like an erupting volcano. That was awesome.
Okay. We are going to our last contributor today, Greg in Jamestown, California. And he wrote in before saying that one of his betta fry accidentally got into a different tank where it was the only betta fry in there, and he discovered that it was quite a bit larger than all the rest of the fry because it wasn't having to compete with all of its siblings.
That was amazing to see the size difference. So you can look online. We'll have on our show page a link to his video and a photo as well of the huge betta fry in comparison to its siblings. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really...
We talked about it last week, but now you can see it.
And, really big difference.
Yeah, it's just... You have to see it to believe it. And then the other thing, he also asked about when you can start siphoning... changing the water in the fry tank.
Yeah, he says, how and when is it safe to clean a fry tank?
Yeah. We started doing that just maybe 4 or 5 days after the fry was free swimming. And that seemed to work all right. Not that I would consider myself an expert on that, but it worked okay just using, as you have used, just airline tubing. You don't want to use anything with, that would pose a lot of risk to the fry. And Gregory uses pantyhose that he attaches to the end.
That's
so
a good idea.
There's no way they can get through the mesh there. So that's a good way to do it. We started out, I think, doing about 1/4 gallon at a time, daily, and then we built up to 1 gallon or so over a few days. And then, of course, now we do 3 gallon changes in the 10-gallon tank every time we do it, which is extremely frequently. But the fish are much bigger now, and we only got the females in there. But, yeah, hopefully that'll work. And please check out this video. It really is amazing. You have to see it to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
How the difference in size with this 3-week betta and these other siblings hatched at the same time, but with a different environment and different food. You can see how much that can affect the growth of a fish.
Now, Greg also asked if we ever get back there, since I'm from Sonora, which is right near Jamestown, just up the hill from Jamestown. And my parents still live there, actually, so we go and visit them.
Mm-hmm. We were there just last Christmas,
yep.
And we visited McLeod's pet store.
At the Junction in Sonora.
I'm sure you're familiar with that place, because it's the only aquarium store around for some distance. So,
yeah.
We even did an episode talking about the blue crayfish that are available there at McLeod's.
It was neat.
So, yeah, but that was about a year ago, I guess. So, I think we're just about ready to end the show, but Kelly has a special thing she would like to do, and I'm enthusiastic about this.
Okay.
This will be fun. So,
and this is to go along with the season.
So, here we go.
We fish you a merry podcast, we fish you a merry podcast, we fish you a merry podcast, and an algae-free year.
She just started singing that right before we started recording the show, and I said, you have to do that. You got to do that for us. Thought that was cool.
And next week we'll have a better Christmas present for you.
Well, hopefully. I don't know if we can top that one. That was pretty cool.
Oh, I think it's topical.
Good night, Phil.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and or questions that may be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801-477-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.